Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's great to be back with you after a few weeks of relaxation and vacation. I don't know how many of you all have come into my office, but I have two very special pictures on my desk. One is of my beautiful wife, Elizabeth, and the other is of a moment in time with my son, Milton, on the top of Long's Peak in Colorado. It was a 14,259-foot peak in the Rocky Mountain National Park. And that was a trip that was just so meaningful and special to share with my son. It was a glorious experience. As we were on the top, after hiking 8 miles up, gaining over a mile of elevation, you can see seemingly forever. You're the highest point anywhere. I don't know how many of you all have seen Long's Peak, but you can see it from Denver. If you ever go into the Denver airport and you look up at the mountains, and it's the most prominent peak there on the Front Range, and it's just spectacular. And that day we were treated to a rare glimpse of the top of the world. And you know, it occurred to me that it was on that day, August the 6th, 2008. It was a day right before I had accepted the call to come to the Church of the Good Shepherd 9 years ago. And my son and I were climbing up there, and happened to be the Feast of the Transfiguration. August the 6th, today, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, which made it all the more special, being on the Holy Mountain, if you will, in the presence of God. Let me just share with you just a little bit about, in order to get to the top of this mountain, you leave at 3 a.m. in the morning. So you leave in the dark. You hike the first half of the trip in complete darkness with a headlamp in order that you can summit by 9 a.m. or so before the heat builds up in the atmosphere and the clouds build, and all of a sudden you become a lightning rod. Literally exposed to the threat of lightning. And so you have to leave early. Once we got up there, unfortunately, as much as you would like to stay and enjoy yourself, enjoy the accomplishment of getting there, you can only stay for just a few minutes because you're actually only halfway there. As much as an accomplishment as you feel it was to be on the top, the real accomplishment is getting home safe. And so it is another treacherous 8 miles back home. And getting home is the real goal. I always have to remember that. I know you've heard me preach and share with you all over these years about just how important this time is for me in my family, in the mountains of Colorado. It is a place that I truly experience the presence of God. It is a place where, this cool mountain air, the vast array of wildlife, the spectacular, magnificent views of the mountains and the beauty of God's creation. The exertion, the physical exertion of hiking, feeling like you've really done something today. It is an inspiration. It's a time that I commune with God. I forget about the cares of the world. And I feel like I'm in that very thin place where heaven and earth are so close. And I hope that each of you find places like that in your own lives where you can feel like you are that close to God. It's hard to describe, But it's a renewing and healing experience for me. I also find that the mountain climb is a lot like a metaphor for our lives. It's a one step after another. It's a day by day, a long obedience in the same direction. It is a perseverance. It is a stick-to-itiveness. It's a goal that you set, heading in the same direction, desiring to encounter God, knowing that you're going to encounter God, and being changed in the process, going up and coming down. You know, there's so much to see if we keep our eyes and our minds open to the presence of God all around us. My wife and I have been hiking together since the very beginning of our relationship, and I call her my hiking buddy. When we hike together, it just takes us back to that place that is so very special. But the mountaintop has been a very special place, a place where God has been present from the beginning of creation, right? All throughout Scripture, we hear of God's people going to the mountaintop to encounter the presence of God. Moses went up to the mountain in the Exodus passage to receive God's instruction, came down and his face was glowing with that raiment light, that Shekinah glory, that knowing that he had been in the presence of God, they had to veil his face. Elijah, he was running for his life, and he went to the mountain of the Lord for God's protection and his provision to outlast the drought and to keep his life. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, to speak with his heavenly Father, to draw his strength, to remember who he was. And here today on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up the high mountain to pray. He wanted to share with them something very special, something that would change their lives forever, something that they would never forget. No matter what they had to go through, they would never forget the experience that they had on that mountain. And the voice of God spoke to them, the same voice that was heard at Jesus' baptism. "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Follow him. Be with him." You know, this transfiguration story, it speaks to us of a God who is personal. It speaks to us of a God who is interested in knowing you as a person. It speaks to a God who wants to be known by you. It speaks to a God who shares with us his unfailing love. That no matter what, it's a picture of the future. It's a resurrection story. It is knowing the end of the story. Jesus revealed himself and gave his disciples this privileged insight into who he was, a share of his divine glory. And of course, Peter did what any one of us would have done, right? Game over. We're there. There's nothing more to do. Let's build some booths and stay a while. Let's bottle up this experience and keep it forever. And just when he wanted to do that, you know, the cloud vanished. Moses and Elijah went away. But I have no doubt that Peter said, "Well, if we can't stay, how about Moses and Elijah? You get with James and John on the mountain and Jesus, and let's get a group photo on the mountain. Let's document this thing, that we were here." Maybe even a selfie, who knows? You know, we've just returned from our retreat in Colorado, and we did some fabulous hikes, and we did commune with God in powerful ways. And the thing that I was so aware of is how often I wanted to pull out my, you know, my trusty cell phone. It's my pedometer. It keeps up with how many miles I'm going. It keeps up with my time. It's also my compass, but it's my camera as well. And so we pull out our, you don't have to pay for film anymore. So what is it? We just click away. Click away, click away. We're trying to capture a moment. But the crazy thing is that you go back and you look at your pictures, they remind you of it, of what it is that you did. But you can never capture the moment that you're trying to capture. The view is just not as magnificent. The mountains are not as grandiose. It just doesn't quite do it justice. We take a lot of pictures, but we never can capture what it is that we truly want to capture. The experience, the epiphany, the fact that God was with us in that place, that we've been changed. What we capture is just a reminder, an important reminder. But I've got more pictures and I never can go back and even look at them anymore. The real picture that we need to take is the picture in our heart and in our mind. You know, our mind will take a picture of all kinds of things that we expose ourselves to, that we're open to. The picture that we need to take is the one that's emblazoned into our hearts. It is that, it's that knowing, that revelation, that aha. It's that confidence that God is with us, that He has shown us who He is, that no matter what life throws at us, we have that knowing in our hearts to hang on to. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face radiated with God's light. And I know that the disciples' faces were shining with that same light, being in the presence of God, coming down off the mountains. They didn't have to say anything. God's light was burning within them, and it was shining through them. That's the kind of light that God wants us to shine in to our worlds. They were willing to follow Jesus wherever it led, even to the cross. God's light is shining within each one of us. His glory is shining, whether it be on the mountaintop or at the Eucharist or at the bayfront as the sun is coming up. Wherever it is that you're encountering God's Word, His assurance of His love, His purpose and His plan, His goodness and mercy, God's glory is being revealed to you. You need to have eyes to be aware. It says that in the Gospel, Peter was about to fall asleep, but he didn't. He stayed awake. And because he stayed awake, he encountered the glory of God. We need to stay awake. There are lots of distractions. There are lots of temptations. There are lots of things that are cheap imitations. But we need to stay awake to the true presence and the glory of God shining in and through our lives. God is a God who is speaking to us. He wants to be known. He's given us moments. Let us be open to that. Not be, you know, tired by the mundane, the day-to-day, the familiar. God is revealing Himself to you and to me. He is He wants us to take that picture and commit it to our hearts and to our minds, that we might refer to it day in and day out, and that light may shine through us. As beautiful as the mountain is, God's mission is not on the mountain. It's in the valley. It's with the people. And as wonderful as it was to be on vacation, you know, it's great to be back. And just to be able to share the glow that I feel by being in the near presence of God and being renewed and regenerated. So the mission that God is calling us to is to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. You and I know the end of the story. It's a beautiful gift. We know what our destiny is. We know what our future is. Therefore, we can go out to do the work that God has given us to do, to love Him, to serve Him, and to be His witnesses, to share His glory in this world. Amen.